Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and I hope you're doing well. We are into baseball, and as I look back over the archived interviews that we have done over the last few weeks, we have certainly covered baseball a lot. We've got a lot of different players. We've had some players that are in the majors, and we had some players that are, well, on their way up, and that's what we've got for you today. Our guest is Eric Weiss. Eric is kind of an all-around player for the Indianapolis Indians. He's a minor league ball player. He still has not played in a major league game, but he's very close. He plays first base for the Indianapolis Indians, plays every day. The Indians are a Pittsburgh Pirates organization, and you have to believe that before the season is over, Eric's probably going to get a chance to make his major league debut at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. In fact, currently, just to bring you up to date, as we broadcast this, he's got a couple homers. He's batting .226, which isn't too bad, and maybe he's got to pick it up a little bit, but I think for the most part, they're going to give Eric a chance, because overall, he's his time in the minors, he's batted almost about .275, and he's had 26 homers since he was drafted in 2013. So he's been in the minors for 6 years. That's kind of long for a minor leaguer, but I think this is going to be his year. I think he's going to get a chance to come up and play, and he's got some good baseball genes. His dad played a little bit for the University of Houston, and then also played for the Los Angeles Dodgers, so he knows a little bit about what he's talking about. But the most important thing for Eric, as far as we're concerned, is the fact that he knows and loves Jesus Christ as his Savior, and a lot of the Indianapolis Indians are in that kind of that same way. In fact, Ron Bruner is the longtime chaplain for the Indianapolis Indians, and he and I are good friends, and he always lets me know what the spiritual atmosphere is with the Indians, and indeed with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. The Pirates have a lot of believers at the top, including Clint Hurdle, who's one of the he's the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he's one of the most outspoken Christians in Major League Baseball. So the Pirates are in good hands. I think they're going to give Eric a chance, and well, we wanted you to hear this interview that we did. We actually did it last summer, but we wanted you to hear this interview and hear the testimony of Eric Weiss of the Indianapolis Indians. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. We're in the dugout of the Indianapolis Indians, and our guest is Eric Weiss, the first baseman who is actually in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. The Indians are a farm team of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Eric, glad to have you on Face to Face.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, you were drafted 11th round 2013 out of Brenham, Texas.
That's right.
Little personal note, I actually have a friend that lives in Tomball. Is that close to Brenham?
Very close. It's closer to on the way to Houston.
Yeah.
I used to go to Tomball all the time, and I did my off-season workouts in Tomball.
That is a great area, Brenham, Texas. Great baseball area. Tell me a little bit about baseball in Brenham, Texas.
Well, I mean, it's very historic. It was a great thing to be a part of when I was growing up, and it's a lot of good sports there, but baseball definitely reigns at the top. There's a rich history of winning there in Brenham, and it's awesome. I loved growing up there. I played Little League with all my buddies. It's a small town, so we all grew up playing together, and we actually had a really good high school team, and we ended up winning state tournament. We went my junior year, we lost, but then my senior year we ended up going and winning.
And what position did you play on the state tournament team?
Second base.
I noticed that in looking, did a little research about Brenham, it's called Perfect Game USA. Tell me what Perfect Game USA is.
Perfect Game, I never was really a part of that. I think that happened a little bit after I was in high school. There was some Perfect Game when I was in high school, but it's more of like a prospect travel ball. You go and try out, and then there's teams that you play on, and you play in different tournaments around the United States, and they scout you for college, pro scouts a lot. we'll go watch those games.
Did you have a lot of scouts looking at you when you were in high school? Did you
go through the
scouting regime?
I wasn't that big of a, there were no professional scouts really, but just colleges would come watch me a lot when I played summer ball, and then when I played in high school, we had a really good team, and our high school coach, he was really good at you know, staying in contact with colleges and getting guys to come watch you. And I had Texas, Rice University in Houston, U of H, and Texas State, I believe.
So you had a number of schools. You went to the University of Texas.
That's right.
And that, again, a very storied program, one of the best baseball programs in the country. Tell me a little bit about what it meant to play for the University of Texas.
Well, that was a dream of mine growing up. I grew up watching University of Texas. I grew up watching them play football, baseball, everything. And they were always won. They always won. They always played good. And so that's where I wanted to go. And they didn't necessarily offer me the most, but I said, just offer me a scholarship and I'd go. And they offered me, I think, like 25% scholarship, and I took it. And it was a dream come true. That's all I ever wanted to do was play.
How many years did you play at Texas, and what was your success like there?
3 years. I went there as a freshman, and I wasn't at the top of the list, you know, to play. I wasn't gonna play every day going into it, but I ended up having a really good fall, and then when we went into the spring, I was at third base and I was in left field as well, and because we had a lot of guys, we had an older guy at third, but I ended up starting the first game of the opening of that year as a freshman at third base, and I think my first series I went like 11 for 13. I don't think I ever got out. I got maybe twice. So from then on, I never looked back. I played every game for my whole career. Hit really well. I think 340 my freshman year and 350 my sophomore year, and I think like 290 or something my junior year, but played really well. I missed one game. I got hit by a pitch in the face.
Ooh.
Broke my nose and everything, but I only sat out a day from it.
Now you saw a lot of players. I mean, being here in the minors, and you've moved your well up in the minors since 2013. Did you run into any players that you're seeing now in the minors, or players that you're seeing that have made their way to the majors?
Oh yeah, a lot of players that I was drafted with. Adam Frazier, he was a guy that we played in short season together, and then he's in the big leagues now. Chad Cool, we were drafted together as well. Austin Meadows,
teammate of yours,
yep,
here.
All through the minor leagues, almost all those guys have made it to the major leagues, and playing against a number of guys throughout my career, they've made it up, and they've had success.
You had good legacy from your family too. Your dad had a chance to play at a cup of coffee with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's right.
Were you born when he was playing? I know that was like 81. You came along after that, right?
I came in 91. It's my birthday, but he played. I think it was when he went to U of H. Played for 4 years, and then he was drafted by the Dodgers. And I think he played 78 and 79, and then in 80 he made it up to the big leagues, and then in 81 he was up there for a little while, and that was he actually got a World Series ring.
Really?
From them. Yeah, he went up for a couple weeks, I think, months probably, toward the end of the year, and was with them in the first playoff series, and then he didn't make the World Series roster, but he was on the team, so he
had to be playing. Let's see, that's Tommy Lasorda and Steve Garvey,
Ron Say, and
wow.
Steve Yeager.
What does he tell you about playing at this level, if anything? What advice did he give you?
It's a lot of determination and confidence. You know, everyone here has developed their swing and developed their game of play and pitching to the highest level that they can, and now it's basically just a mental game. You got to believe that you're better than the other guy, better than the pitcher on the mound. You're going to make every play, and you have to play hard and just play free, you know, don't think as much, because everyone has that ability now at this level.
I know one of the important things, of course, being here is, as you say, is confidence, developing your skills. And, of course, you want to win. The Indianapolis Indians right now are at the top, I believe, of your division. How much does that come into play here, and how big is the competition among your teammates? You guys are all trying to get to the top. You're all trying to get to the Pirates. What's that like?
Well, it's definitely a different type of atmosphere than in, you know, in high school or college. You know, everybody just wants to win, but there's a higher goal here, you know, to make it to the major leagues. But I'm pretty, if you ask everyone, it only makes it better if you root for your teammates and you play for your teammates. If you play to win, then you're going to play at your highest ability. And that's what's going to get you to the big leagues, not worrying about yourself. And it's a team game. And if you keep playing for the team and play hard, play with for your teammates, then you're going to get important. You're going to have success.
You've been very close to getting to the top, and maybe this year, maybe a possible September call up, or maybe next year. I know you've gone as a non-roster invitee 2 years in a row in the Pirates spring training camp down in Bradenton. What's that been like for you?
Oh, it's been awesome. I mean, my first one, I didn't have any kind of expectation. They called me and asked me, and I was very surprised, and I was just nothing but thankful. And it was an awesome experience to be around those guys and to learn from those coaches and players, the older players that are up in the major leagues. And it was very fun to be there.
What's the next step? I know, of course, the next step is the majors, but what does it take to get to the majors? What do you feel in your own game? You've got the confidence. What do you feel in your own game that you or any other player has to have to get to the majors?
I think that it has to start with knowing yourself as a player, knowing what you can do as a hitter, and what kind of hitter you are, and trying to be the best at that role. And for me, I have to take more risks and be a little bit more aggressive than what I usually am, because I don't have a very aggressive personality. But the way for me to get the best out of myself is I'm gonna have to be more aggressive and be more assertive and yeah, especially in the box. Yeah, yeah. I think that will.
Anyone in the box. Our guest is Eric Weiss. He's in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization playing for the Indianapolis Indians. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Eric, thanks for being with us. Eric Weiss is our guest. He's playing for the Indianapolis Indians. Been banged up a little bit this year. And now you feel like you're healthy and coming back. What was your injury?
I had a quad injury whenever I had it happen to me in June, actually. I think around May 28th or so, May 30th and June 1st, I had felt a pull in my quad when I was running to first base, and I felt a pop in my quad muscle. And I didn't want to come out. I didn't want to stop playing, because, you know, you're so close and I was playing good at the time. I wanted to keep it going. And so I kept playing through it. We did some maintenance stuff in the training room and tried to keep it at bay. And it got a little bit better, but I would run sometime on a triple or run from on the bases first to third, and I'd feel another pop, and it would hurt again for a while. And I got to the point where I kind of had to pick and choose where I could run as hard as I could, because it was hurting so bad. And then I think it was June 28th or June 30th, I had started bruising in the back of my leg, and my leg was swelling up, so I had to tell them something, and I went to go see a doctor, and we determined that it was a pull quad muscle. So I sat out for about 10 to 15 days, did nothing, and then we had our All-Star break, and at the end of that, I started running.
Yeah.
And started getting jogging and getting back in the groove of things. And then I went down to Morgantown, West Virginia, in our short season.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you went back, I think you played at Jamestown.
I did, Jamestown.
And so you go down to Morgantown, you're seeing guys that are got a big dream, but they're way behind you.
Yeah.
What did you see as the difference?
It was interesting. I mean, everyone that goes to the park, it's, you know, they're a lot younger, so you have a little bit more energy. A lot of guys are running around, you know, excitement about being drafted. And it's a good little breath of fresh air because you're around those guys a lot, and all they do is keep it fun and they play. You know, there's no thinking about anything. There's no outside influence.
They didn't quite have the stress that you
exactly. Yeah, it's just play, and it was a cool experience. They play in West Virginia in Morgantown, which is the Mountaineers, the West right. University field, and it's nice. Very very nice park. Nice facilities. And it was cool to be there. They were at home for the whole week, so I was there at home, and then I came back to
got a chance to come back here.
Indy.
I know that one of the important things in your life is Jesus Christ. Tell me what Jesus Christ means to you right now.
Well, he means everything. It's definitely a difficult road being a baseball player. You're away from family, away from loved ones, and it's a constant game of failure. So. It's got that sort of stress on your mind and stuff too. But for me, I have to have him very close to me, and I have to pray a lot, and that helps me get through a lot of you know the stress of the day. But definitely, he plays an enormous part in my life.
When did Jesus Christ come into your life?
I was raised in a Christian family. In Brenham, we went to a small church, St. James Church, in a community called New Adam, which is very close to Brenham.
Uh-huh.
And it's an old, I think it was made in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very, very close community, and I grew up going to church there from when I was little to when I left for college. And that's where I was baptized there. I was confirmed there, and that's where I want to be when I settle down.
Settle down. So, you want to go back to Brenham?
That's right.
Tell me a little bit. You're living the life of Jesus Christ. I know you're a chapel leader here, a baseball chapel. Tell me a little bit about what it's like being a Christian in this culture, in this baseball culture, and do you have to kind of gravitate to your friends? I know you got a lot of them that are here that are not just, they're coming from a lot of different countries, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different right. thoughts. Tell me a little bit about what that's like being here in the clubhouse.
Well, you know, we're a close group of friends in there, and the leadership that I have to make for myself, I have to surround myself with family and the loved ones that will point me in the right direction and that will help me along the way and that will keep Jesus Christ in my life when I'm going astray or if I'm ever forgetting about that. But baseball definitely has an interesting culture. There's a lot of guys that believe in Jesus Christ or some that don't. And but, you know, Jesus taught us to love one another for who we are. And that's the only that's the thing I try to live by is to love your neighbor as yourself and stay close with God as much as I can.
And I know the temptations of many of them are real here. You got girls around you. You got the money. You've got all different kinds of things here that can be a real stress. I would imagine you have to really be praying a lot to keep strong in that way.
That's right. Yeah, baseball. There's especially if you make it to the major leagues. You're in big cities, and there's a lot of money that they make, and you have to remember that money's not everything, and that stuff goes away. And you know, the only thing that doesn't is Jesus Christ. So,
who's been a spiritual role model for you? You talked about your family. Has your dad been a big, strong role model in that particular area?
Yeah, my dad and my mom. My mom is huge. In that area, and she sends me devotionals a lot. My girlfriend and I, we do a devotional together, and we read. There's an app on the iPhone that does the 365 read the Bible in a year, you know, and yep. It breaks it down. And we're working on that. We're trying to read more of it, and Because I've never done that. I've never read the whole Bible.
The whole Bible in a year? That's a challenge.
I know it is, but we're trying to do that. And yeah, my grandparents were big, and they were huge believers in Jesus Christ.
So you got a lot of people praying for you, right, at this
level? That's right, a lot.
Tell me a little bit also, has there been anybody that you've seen growing up that's a major or minor league player that you've kind of patterned yourself after? Anybody in that area?
As a talent?
The talent, or as even somebody spiritually that you ran into?
Well, I, being a utility player, I like to watch some other guys like Ben Zobrist is a big utility player, and I don't know about his beliefs, but
he's very strong. In fact, he's been on Face to Face.
I think I've heard about that. Yeah. But I mean, he plays the game the right way, and you can tell he's a good person, and that's why I like to model myself after people that. They're not just good baseball players, but they're good and off the field. They're good people.
I really appreciate you taking the time out here. We're going to have a game tonight, and hopefully you'll get in. I don't think you're going to be starting tonight.
Not tonight, but maybe a double switch or a pinch hit or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. I want to close this way, and sometimes guys have it, sometimes they don't. Do you have a favorite verse? Do you have a verse that comes to mind that means a lot to you?
I do like my confirmation verse, and I also have one on my cross here.
Go ahead, take a look at it.
It's Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan.
For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Plans to prosper you and not harm you. That's a great verse.
I like that one a lot. My girlfriend got me this, so it's definitely hard right now, you know, being injured and earlier in the year, and the year hasn't gone as good as I planned, you know. So I cling close to that, and I trust in him, and then the plan.
He's got a plan for you, no doubt. Yeah. Eric Weiss, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. Good luck to you, and hope to see you in the majors.
Thank you.
All right, Eric Weiss from the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Eric Weiss. And it's always good to hear from a Christian ball player. Particularly, I love minor league baseball. Now, I love to talk to players who are on their way up. They're not making a whole lot of money. They are very young. Some of them are newly married. Some of them maybe have one or two kids, and they're trying to figure out whether or not they want to continue on with their career. And, it's not like Major League Baseball players. A lot of Major League Baseball players have signed the big contract. They're making a lot of money. I think the average salary, in fact, the minimum salary right now for a Major League ball player, I believe, is over $500,000. So if you get to the majors, even for a few days, you're going to make a lot of money. But these guys that are down in the minors, they're not making a lot of money. And one thing that I love to do with minor league ball players is to mentor them and talk to them a little bit about what they're going to do when they get out of baseball. You know, a lot of these guys, they're 30, 35 years old. They've got a young family. They've got a young wife. And they've known baseball and all their life, and they're not quite sure what to do. Baseball's a job, but baseball is a sport where you go to work every day, and it's a little bit different than other sports, other professional sports. And so it's good to spend some time with some of these ball players and to let them know that God loves them and has a plan for their life. Well, hey, I hope you check out our website. We've got a new snapshot up there. A snapshot is of Ted Barrett. It's a story of Ted Barrett's life. It's really a quick read. You can read the whole thing in probably about a minute. And gives you an idea of Ted Barrett, and gives you a close-up look at this major league umpire. In fact, what's kind of funny is as I saw the snapshot come up on our website and helped put it up there, turned on the TV to watch a Reds game, and Ted Barrett was the umpire behind the plate. So he's one of the most respected umpires in the major leagues, and I think you're going to enjoy checking out our website at facetofaceradio.com. facetofaceradio.com. Facetofaceradio.com, just like it sounds. Check it out and look and see what the snapshot says about Ted Barrett and all the other things that we have written up there also. I think you're going to enjoy those. Well, as we close for you today, I want to take you to one of my favorite verses. In fact, it's my life verse, or was for a long time, and one of a number of life verses that I have, but this one was really key for me. Probably in the early part of my ministry, John 10:10, it says this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." When I was just starting out in the ministry, I said, "Lord, whatever it is, I want an abundant life." And I have to admit to you that there have been some tough times along the way, but for the most part, I wouldn't trade the life with Jesus Christ for anything in the entire world, because he has made it indeed an abundant life. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this: no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.